If someone offers you a risk-free investment or a guaranteed return, run. Run really fast because there's no such thing. And you want to make sure that you're investing with people who really understand what they're doing.
Welcome to the Quiet Wealth Podcast, where we talk about money mindset, how not to be broke, simple step-by-step strategies to conquer your finances, and the entrepreneurial spirit that will get you there. Your host, Camilla Jeffs, has been a student of money for over 20 years. She started out broke and has built real wealth for her family through steps you can copy. Camilla is on a mission to help thousands of people just like you build true financial stability.
Welcome back to the Quiet Wealth Podcast. I am so excited you're here. And if it's your first time, welcome. Here at Quiet Wealth, we talk about three things. Number one is investing. Number two is building businesses. And number three is generational wealth. So if those are things you want to learn about, you are in the right place. This episode today is one where we're going to talk about risk. Talk about taking risks and what kind of risks we should be taking in our investing and business building and generational wealth for that matter. What are those risks look like? And we're specifically going to be comparing stocks versus real estate. Now, investment risk, if you look that up in the dictionary, it can be defined as the probability or likelihood of occurrence of losses relative to the expected return on any particular investment. Okay, let's put it in simpler terms. It's just measuring the level of uncertainty of achieving the returns, you know, according to your expectations. So I'm sure you've read investment warnings. Anytime you invest in anything, there's going to be a warning that says past performance is no guarantee of future results, or basically there are no guarantees when it comes to investing. I think we know that. We know there's no guarantees, and it's okay because we are willing to take those risks. So we're going to look pretty closely at how investing in stocks versus real estate shakes out. There's really four basic risks, and then we're going to talk about how commercial multifamily real estate really mitigates that risk and why the stock market can actually be much riskier than real estate. But the key here is never to look for investments that are risk-free, because that doesn't exist. But you have to understand the risks thoroughly and figure out your own risk comfort level. And then you ensure that you're doing everything to protect your money. Remember, we don't want to be average. We want to be awesome. Currently, I am in the middle of a big investment risk. I'm buying my first business. Now, just like investing in real estate where you buy a property, you can invest in a business where you buy a business. So you take over the employees, the customers, and all aspects. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. It's new, but I'm doing it anyway because I have big dreams and big goals. And to achieve those big goals and dreams, I must take risks. So that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. But we also take risks intelligently. We take intelligent risks. We're not taking dumb risks, which I think is like lottery stuff or gambling stuff. Like, no. We're going to do intelligent risk taking so that we can get the returns that we're looking for. So risk number one is a market correction. What happens in a market correction in the stock market? I mean, it's a pretty common fear, and probably the biggest reason that investors remain on the sidelines is because they're so afraid of a sudden market correction, like a big drop in the stock market. And during this downturn, investors, they may exit pretty quickly, which only solidifies their losses. But others, they're like, well, I'll take the short-term loss in exchange for a long-term gain, because historically, the market bounces back. But really clinging to that trust is challenging during the downward trend. Another thing to note is that the stock market, if you listen to the financial advisors, they tell you invest in the stock market for the long term, because over 40-year span, then the stock market has returned about an 8 to 9% return. Now, it depends on who you talk to, because some people say it's 12%. Other people say it's more like 4%. It's really hard to know what is actually happening with the stock market and the returns, because it's so volatile. It's so up and down all around. So one of the things that's really challenging is that when you're in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, you don't have as much time to recover from these sudden drops in the stock market like you did when you were younger in your 20s and 30s. So that's a challenge with the stock market. And that's one of the things that I think makes the stock market fairly risky, is because you just don't have the time to recover if you were to lose, say, half your retirement in 1 week. So let's talk about multifamily real estate investments. So recessions are actually sometimes good for real estate investments, especially if you're investing in workforce housing. Because in good times, all those incomes and get higher, savings rates get higher, and that means more people will tend to move up into the Class A or luxury apartments. But when we're faced with layoffs or pay cuts and downtimes, then homeowners tend to sell. And renters of your Class A apartments, they might downgrade to more affordable apartments like Class B or C. So during a recession, the demand for apartments actually tends to go up, thereby decreasing the risk. All right, risk number two is competition. Do you remember Blockbuster? Remember that movie store where you would physically walk into the building and you would rent a VHS tape and you would take home and watch, or DVDs when they started doing DVDs? It was actually kind of fun to browse the movie aisles to see which one you wanted to try. I know I enjoyed it. My kids enjoyed it when I took them when they were little. It was fun to walk around and pick a movie. And of course, you know, the new titles were sold out all the time. I even had a 2 week stint working at Blockbuster. I was a Blockbuster employee. It only lasted 2 weeks because I got offered another job pretty much the day after I started working at Blockbuster, and that job was a lot better. Well, when Netflix came on the scene, they beat out Blockbuster because not only did they target the same audience, they also got ahead of the technology and consumer trends. So they foresaw that we would be moved to streaming videos instead of renting them from a store. Blockbuster did not. Now, Netflix is a $143 billion company, and Blockbuster, well, they are not completely gone. They have one more surviving store in Bend, Oregon. And do you want to know something ironic? There is a Netflix comedy about it called Blockbuster. It's literally about the show. It's a show that is detailing about the sole remaining Blockbuster and how it's still there and it has all paraphernalia that you can buy, things like that. It's very funny. Okay, so what does that mean for you as an investor? Now, typically, as consumers, we don't have insight into technology development, for example. Like, could you tell me what Netflix is doing right now to prepare for the future? I don't know. That, you know, none of us really know, but the employees know, and they know what they're working on. And we also don't have insight into their operations. So we don't know how they're managing their money, what sorts of things they're investing in, and how they are leveraging their consumer base, all those things. So new competitors, they can have a significant impact on investment returns. So imagine in the stock market, if you had been invested into Blockbuster because you loved movies, for example, you didn't know that Netflix was going to come in and completely disrupt the industry, right? And so you would have lost a ton of money if you invested in Blockbuster. So you don't know. And that's one of the risks of the stock market. Now, let's talk about multifamily real estate, the competition risk there. That competitors, they don't just spring up out of nowhere, right? Because land and space, zoning, permits, all of those things are limited. And when new apartments are built, they're always Class A, which is like the new luxury type of apartment buildings. So the demand for workforce and affordable housing is on the rise always. So the risk of having high vacancy in like a well-maintained Class B and C apartment building is fairly low. All right, risk number three is consumer behavior. That is us, right? We are the consumers, and what kind of behavior do we have? So there's companies who create products for people to use, like Facebook, iPhones, Happy Meals, soap. Those are all consumable products, but it's impossible to predict how long those products will last and how popular the companies will be. Blockbuster had a really long reign, but when technology changed and when consumer behavior changed, like we got lazy and didn't actually want to go to the store. Instead, we're like, oh, Netflix will send it right to my mailbox. Awesome, right? I did it. I changed my behavior and said, this is even better. I'll just order from Netflix so then I don't have to go to the store and drag all my kids there to pick a movie because it was fun, but also caused fights because I want this one. I want that one. Like it was a whole ordeal sometimes. So my behavior changed and Netflix allowed it, right? And Redbox. Redbox was awesome too because you could do the same thing with Redbox. But what's happened with Redbox? They have not adapted either. So they're still just the kiosks at the stores where you can get a movie. But I can't remember the last time that we got a Redbox because we just stream everything from Netflix or Disney Plus or Hulu or Amazon Prime, and all those have changed, right? So Blockbuster just really stagnated and it drug investors down with it. So let's talk about consumer behavior in terms of multifamily real estate investments. So when you invest in real estate, you're investing in a basic human need that will never go away, right? The need for shelter. If you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, shelter is right there at the bottom. As long as humans have existed, we've required a roof over our heads. And that need just strengthens over time, especially with all the rising population happening everywhere. All right, risk number 4. Is lack of control and transparency. So in the stock market, right, it's kind of like buying a train ticket. So the train's leaving with or without you. Whether you're on board or not, kind of up to you. When the market is sailing upward, the ride is pretty smooth and exciting. But during a correction, things start to go downhill, right? And you have this terrible, helpless feeling that takes over. The CEO of the companies is unreachable, right? And you're just like, oh my gosh, I guess I just have to buckle up for the ride. It's so funny because I worked for a really large corporation that was a Fortune 100 company, Fortune 50 actually. And the CEO, of course, was unreachable. There's no way that you as a consumer could reach out and be like, hey, Mr. CEO, can you please tell me what's going on with my investment? I invested in your company and it's not going well and I'm concerned and I'm worried about this. And can you help me understand where you're headed and what you're going to do to fix this? It's almost laughable now that I say that out loud that you could, you know, call up a CEO of a huge company like that. But let's talk about in terms of multifamily real estate investments. It's one of the reasons that I love investing like this is that you know exactly who the leader is. And you can reach out directly to ask questions, give feedback. One of the people who invested in a project with me, they were looking at the apartment itself and they noticed that we had some bad reviews. And so he was concerned about that. And so he reached out and he said, hey, I see these really bad reviews. Like, what's going on with the property? And it was actually awesome for us because we received that information from him. And then we dug in with our property managers and said, hey, have you guys seen these reviews yet? What's going on with the reviews? And we had to fix some things and we were able to fix some things. And then we went back to him and said, hey, thank you so much for the feedback and for noticing this. Here's the, you know, 3 things that we're going to do to turn this around and get better reviews on our properties and take better care of our residents that live there. So that's the beauty of investing in these group investments is because you have complete transparency and you can reach out and get your questions answered all the time. Also, when you invest in a solid group investment like this, you can be assured that there are multiple buffers in place to protect investor capital, like reserves, for example. So we have a bank account with a bunch of money just sitting in there just in case something goes wrong. We always have reserves. We have insurance on the property. So if anything goes wrong, we can get it insured. And we hire experienced professionals to handle the unexpected. So also with monthly and like quarterly updates, you have ongoing transparency into every single deal. So it's kind of fun to be able to join these. And my first one that I joined as a passive investor, I invested my money in it. And I really enjoy receiving the updates and reading about the property and reading about what's happening with it and how it's going and looking at the financials. It helps me learn a lot about investing, but also it helps me feel more connected to my investments. Now, there's certainly no one right way to invest. The key is to invest, period, right? Understand the risks going in. Just do it. Because the money that's sitting in your savings account right now, it's losing value because of inflation with every passing second. Then also, I want to warn you, if someone offers you a risk-free investment or a guaranteed return, run really fast, because there's no such thing. And you want to make sure that you're investing with people who really understand what they're doing. Now, if this is really interesting to you, you can join my investor crew to get started, and you'll receive like an exclusive collection of investment opportunities that will allow you to passively build wealth for your families and live life on your own terms. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but you join the investor crew. I have hundreds of people just like you that are in this crew, and they are investing, and we are investing together as a group and sharing in the profits. That's what I have for you today. Thanks for joining. Please share this episode with a friend, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Quiet Wealth Podcast. If you want more, head on over to CamillaJeffs.com/podcast to get the show notes and dive into other juicy episodes. While you're there, be sure to grab the free guide to building wealth. And if you know a friend who is struggling with money, please send this episode to them. Let's share the wealth in as many ways as we can. Until next time, wishing you much success.